Well, folks, welcome back and welcome to the first Mooney on Politics podcast for several months. Where do I start? As I say, it's been a couple of months since I last produced a podcast. Not that there haven't been a few failed attempts in the interim. Most of these rarely got past paragraph 3 or 4 when I started to write them, when unfortunately the demands of my paying job distracted me. In fairness, there were a few more, actually there were probably the majority, who were made redundant by the time I had actually finished typing them, because events were moving far faster than I can type. Anyway, so much has happened in the last few weeks since my last one that I'd probably need to write several columns or podcasts to cover everything. But I haven't got the time to write these, and you haven't got the time or the energy to bother with either of them either. So rather than looking back, let's start at where we are now. And by now, I mean Thursday, March the 21st. And let me try to look forward to what I think is happening next. Not that there's a great deal to look forward to, by the way. But let's not jump to the inevitable conclusion just too soon. So the first question most people are asking is, why did Leo Varadkar pick this week to announce his departure? Well, like most, I don't really know. Only he knows that, or a few people around him. Now, there are many reasons why he may have decided to cut and run now. And just go onto Twitter or Facebook or whatever, and you'll see that there's no shortage of online speculation as to the reasons. But we're not going to go there. So whatever about the reasons, the timing appears to make sense, though only if you view it from Leo Varadkar's own perspective. Now, people like me, people of a certain vintage, and that means kind of 50-something plus, would recall the days when buses in Dublin had things called bus conductors. Now, bus conductors were exotic creatures who would walk up and down the bus collecting the fares, and that would be upstairs and downstairs. Now, if memory serves me right, bunking off, or bunking, was the act of evading paying your bus fare. This was especially something that school kids would do as they attempted to ride as far as they could to their destination, normally school, without having to pay the price. You kind of see where I'm going with this. In my view, Varadkar has effectively bunked off at the last possible stop to his destination before having to pay the price. The price, in this case, being him leading his party into yet another electoral hammering. Now, let me make quite clear. This is the last possible stop before his destination. I have no idea what Leo Varadkar sees as his destination. Speculation that it could be a job in Europe or it could be a job here and there, but none of that really matters. The fact is, he's got off at a stop quite close to it, and whatever his destination is, he doesn't feel he's too far away from it. But let's come back to that issue about Fine Gael's electoral prospects and the possibility of an electoral hammering. Last January, the European Council on Foreign Relations published a poll that pointed to Fine Gael losing 3 seats at the European elections. That means falling from its current 5 to just 2 seats. Now, the important thing to note about this European Council on Foreign Relations poll, it was done right across Europe, and the Irish element of it wasn't done on the basis of the European constituencies. It was done taking Ireland as a whole. The poll concluded that while Fine Gael was facing into it with 5 seats, it would probably emerge with 2. Ironically, the same poll suggested that this Fine Gael drop could actually help Fianna Fáil, with Fine Gael's coalition colleague going from 2 seats to 3. This would probably happen with the lower Fine Gael candidates transferring to the remaining Fianna Fáil candidates upon their elimination. Now, according to some Fine Gael friends, there were rumours of another poll, some say suggest an internal Fine Gael poll, that pointed out an even worse outcome, with Fine Gael falling even further than the European Council on Foreign Relations poll suggested. That mightn't be the case. Whether that was real or not, I don't know. Suffice to say that the solid rejection of the 2 referendums and the slew of long-standing and well-established Fine Gael TDs deciding not to contest the next election pointed to a dark time ahead. Now, that's a dark time in the European elections, a dark time in the local elections, and more importantly, a dark time at the next general election. Well, thanks to Leo Varadkar's departure, he can now look at his successor, hand over the mess that is Fine Gael, and say, this is YP, your problem. How very altruistic of Leo Varadkar. But maybe I'm being a bit unfair, and that's not unknown. Because before Varadkar's announcement, and before the landslide no-no at the referendums, there was a growing sense within Fianna Fáil that it might be a net beneficiary of Fine Gael's woes. Fianna Fáil TDs, especially those in constituencies where the sitting Fine Gael TD was not planning to run again, were picking up on a growing sense that many local blue shirts, and I mean hardcore Fine Gael supporters, particularly those who wanted to see this government continue after the next election, might very well be moved to lend their votes to Fianna Fáil the next time, maybe as first preferences, more than likely as second preferences, what one might term a reverse Phil Hogan. Now, the gains would not be significant, but there was hope that the steady decline since February 2020 within Fianna Fáil might be stemmed by some spare Fine Gael votes. However, it's important to note that this hope depended on Fine Gael having a leader in place who agreed with Micheál Martin and with Eamon Ryan that the best outcome in the next election would be a return of this coalition. Now, I'm sure Eamon Ryan felt that that would be with the Green Party, but I think both in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael there was a sense that even without the Green Party, they'd be happy to see Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael return to government in some shape, make, or form. And indeed, looking at the last few opinion polls, the ones from Ireland Thinks, the ones from BNA, you could even read some hints that this was a distinct possibility. So you could actually see Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael returned, albeit as a minority government. Now, when I was on the Brendan O'Connor show a couple of weeks ago on Radio 1, I talked about this in a bit more detail.
The one thing that's consistent across all the polling is that whether you think Fianna Fáil's at 18% or 20% or whatever, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are both below where they were at the last general election, and that was a bad result for both parties. Sinn Féin is above where it was at the last general election, nowhere near as high as it was last year and at various points, but it is still ahead of that. And that means their seats changing and their seats moving from the government side to the opposition side.
Okay, I'll just give people the state of the parties in that poll today. Okay, so Sinn Féin.
And by the way, don't forget that this is in a Dáil with 14 extra seats. What you would end up with is combined with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael being sufficiently far ahead of the Sinn Féin-led alternative to either mean a hung Dáil which can't elect a government, or more than likely a precarious Fianna Fáil-Fine Gael minority government elected courtesy of independents who wanted to avoid another election. Late last year, I had made the glib prediction that the most likely outcome to the next general election was another general election. In reality, while I think the numbers would dictate that, I think the hardcore reality when that has faced the next Dáil is that independents will choose to back a Fianna Fáil Fine Gael minority government rather than face the electorate again. But all of that scenario is contingent on Fine Gael wanting to continue in government. Now, post Leo Varadkar, there are two key questions. The first question is, will the next Fine Gael leader be so determined to return to government following the next election? I think the answer to that is uncertain. This, of course, partly depends on who the personality of that next Fine Gael leader will be. If the next leader isn't so determined to return to government, will they conclude that the path to rebuilding Fine Gael support in the longer term depends on Fine Gael A, going into opposition after the next election, and the Fine Gael leader being the leader of the opposition, i.e. the leader of the biggest non-governing party. But for that to happen, the next Fine Gael leader needs one of two situations to emerge. A, for both Sinn Féin to be in government and for Fianna Fáil to have fewer seats for Fine Gael, i.e. for Fine Gael to be the leading opposition party and the Fine Gael leader to be the leader of the opposition, or they need a situation B, where Fianna Fáil is in government with Sinn Féin, irregardless of matters, many seats it wins. And I suspect option B might be the most preferred one for the next Fine Gael leader. Now, there are a lot of moving parts in this scenario and lots of things that could go wrong for the next Fine Gael leader. But if the next Fine Gael leader's goal is to take Fine Gael into opposition after the next election, then having the ability to decide the timing of that election is a major advantage. And will the incoming Fine Gael leader cede that advantage to the leaders of the other coalition's parties, simply in exchange for a calm relationship with them for the remaining months of this government? I sincerely doubt that. And I think the leaderships of the Green and Fianna Fáil parties are naive if they imagine otherwise. I can well understand the instinctive urge of both Ryan and Martin to speak glowingly in public of the benefits of stability and the desire of this government to fulfil its 5-year term. There's very little else they could say. But do they need to be so absolute in saying they're going to commit to backing the next Fine Gael leader as Taoiseach, no matter who that is? Should they not leave some question marks over this? Or should they not be encouraging people within their parties to raise this as a question? Because the hard political reality is that Varadkar bunking off in the way he has destabilised this government. Just weeks after the public's rejection of the government's yes, yes, referendum message destabilised the confidence of backbenchers, especially Fianna Fáil backbenchers. I have very carefully avoided naming the most likely next Fine Gael leader in my analysis. Now, this isn't because I want to tempt fate. It's quite clear at the time of recording this that it's hard to imagine anyone else other than Simon Harris being the next leader of Fine Gael. I can count nominations as well as anyone else. But for the moment, I'm content to wait until 1 o'clock next Monday, when nominations for the Fine Gael leadership close, to start considering the qualities and skill set of the next leader, never mind his mindset. But while we wait to see who the next Fine Gael leader is, might I suggest we briefly turn our attention to another election that's due to play out in the coming weeks, namely the Shannon by-election to fill the vacancy that was unfortunately caused by the resignation of Senator Neil O'Donnell. Now, nominations close at 12 noon on Friday the 22nd of March. That's tomorrow as I record this. With Oireachtas members voting between the 15th of April and the 29th of April. And I think the count is sometime afternoon on April the 29th. Now, given the government's majority, the Green Party's nominee, and it's been decided that the Green Party will now get to be the sole candidate on behalf of the government for this vacancy, will be the defeated Belfast City Councillor Mal O'Hara. Now, he should win quite easily. But who knows what might happen in a secret ballot, especially with unhappy Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael backbenchers knocking around. They won't be too content to see the Green Party pick up an extra senator. This is an uncertain time. Think back, and I think it was in 2014, that Gerry Crockwell beat this Fine Gael candidate in what should have been a fairly comfortable government win in that by-election. But he didn't, and Gerry Crockwell is there and is still on the Labour panel. Now, I'm not predicting that Mal O'Hara will be defeated, and more than likely he will actually hold on. But I suspect that you will see either some Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael backbenchers deciding, do you know what, we're not going to make this easier, and they're either going to sit it out or sit on their hands. While I don't know who's going to win the Shannon by-election, particularly in these uncertain times, the one thing I do know is that I'm not going to allow as long a gap between podcasts to develop again. And it's quite likely that there'll be another podcast next week, and there'll be one the week after that, because there is so much happening in Irish politics. We are so much into the final countdown to the general election that I think this is going to be a very, very crucial time. The events of the last few weeks, between the referendum defeats, the fact that Fianna Fáil in particular, but also Sinn Féin, it should be noted, were so far out of touch with what their supporters were thinking coming into those referendums. And the fact that the Taoiseach, only a few hours before the ballot boxes were opened, was still predicting a yes, yes. When every single Fianna Fáil TD and councillor I had spoken to in the week running up to that believed that it was going to be a very clear and resounding no, no. The fact that somebody is that far out of touch with their own support base, and it's not exactly a huge support base, tells me that the next election is completely up for grabs. So as I said at the outset, while it looked a couple of weeks ago as if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were not quite coasting to return of government, but were looking where the most likely outcome of the next general election could have been a minority Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael government supported either internally or externally independence, the referendums, but more importantly, the departure of Leo Varadkar and a possible change of direction at the heart of Fine Gael, may well be changing all of that completely. And I think the next couple of months will be very telling. If by next Monday it becomes clear that Simon Harris is going to be the next leader of Fine Gael and the next Taoiseach, the next question after that is going to be who does he put into cabinet and who does he drop. And you are faced with a situation where on the election of the next Taoiseach and the appointment of the government, that Micheál Martin walks back in, followed by the same five Fianna Fáil ministers, while Simon Harris walks in with a partially rebranded, partially refreshed Fine Gael element to the cabinet. And I don't think that's going to save Fine Gael. I think Fine Gael's problems are much bigger than just changing the face on the poster. But I don't think Simon Harris is going to see his task as being winning back lost Fine Gael votes. I think he's going to see his task as Taoiseach and as party leader. And probably the order in which he's going to see those roles is being party leader first and Taoiseach second, is in re-motivating the Fine Gael core. And you're going to see a much stronger Fine Gael message on law and order, on supporting small businesses, and on responding to what's happening in migration. And I think Fine Gael under Simon Harris will spend the next couple of months, indeed, appealing to its own base so that it just saves enough at the next general election to leave it in a position to rebuild from opposition after that. And if people in Fianna Fáil cannot see this coming, then I really do fear for the future of Fianna Fáil, because I believe Simon Harris will see this as an existential battle between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. In a way, I genuinely thought Varadkar would when he returned as Taoiseach, but appeared not to. And I think Simon Harris will learn the lesson of that and will recognise that it is in his interests and Fine Gael's interests for this government not to continue into 2025 and for there to be an election in either September or October this year. However, that's all highly speculative, but let's watch for the signals. Let's watch to see what happens at the Fine Gael Ardéis in April. Let's see how he attempts to reposition Fine Gael and how to appeal to its core voters. And let's see how Micheál Martin attempts to respond to that in what will probably be another overlong and overworthy speech in May. But that's all to come. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this long overdue Mooney on Politics podcast, and I'll speak to you again very, very soon. Until then, Slán.